would feel about that. Yeah. And so it's just good again to be here. I want to lift up for a few moments that verse 18 that you heard read. All of us who are preaching today in our different places, we're all preaching the same passage, and we're all preaching the same theme. And verse 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's the way the NIV says it. King James says, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. And that's what I want to just lift up for my few moments with you this morning. In a church Sunday school one Sunday morning, the Sunday school teacher, after teaching the lesson on peace, decided to ask one of her young students, what is peace? And the little boy raised his hand and said, I know what peace is. She said, what is it, Johnny? He said, peace is when you feel smooth on the inside. If that is the definition of peace, then there are a lot of people in this world today, in this country, that's not feeling smooth on the inside. If this little boy definition is halfway right, there are persons in the suburbs, as well as in the city and in the rural, that's not feeling smooth on the inside. Wall Street is not feeling smooth on the inside. Main Street is not feeling smooth on the inside. The truth of the matter is, there are people from every hue that's not necessarily feeling smooth on the inside. That might not be the best definition of what peace is. But I like that little boy's concept of peace, because I can resonate that peace has an aspect of feeling smooth on the inside. However, I recognize that feeling smooth on the inside is feeling inwardly comfortable. Smooth on the inside is not just internal. It is also emotional and psychological. And so if that little boy is right, and I like his little definition, that peace is really feeling smooth on the inside. Back in the era of the 60s, there were two permanent objects. They were permanent and pretty prominent that symbolized what peace was. That was the circle with a line drawn that symbolized what peace was. And there were people with long hair, most of them, walking around holding up two fingers, showing the peace sign. You could see those symbols on buildings, on bridges, on posters. You could see it everywhere. Wherever you went, somebody will give you the peace sign. But the problem with that is that as soon as the 60s moved away, so did those symbols of peace. All of a sudden, the circle disappeared, the two fingers disappeared, and it makes sense to me why it disappeared, because those were only symbols of peace. And what the world needs now are not symbols of peace, but what the world needs are people who have the substance of peace on the inside. And just like symbols, if peace is only a symbol, it moves away to the next generation. But what the world is needing from us now, what is needed in this community, in this country, not movements and phrases of peace, but people who are actually living out peace that is within them. And this world needs real meaningful peace. The Apostle Paul placed the ownership of this on us today. In verse 18, he says, if it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. A better translation of that verse for me is not if it is possible, but in the original language, the word if really means since it is possible. And the translation of the text could very well be since it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. And I do think it is possible, especially when we say that we believe in the core values of Jesus Christ, of God and church. Peace is possible. Peace can be real. Peace can be reachable. Peace can be redeeming if we believe, really believe, in the core values. I'm reminded of the words of Thomas Kempis when he says, all men desire peace, but very few desire those things that makes for peace. Peace can only rule the day when something larger than personal egos and personal agendas and selfishness and power surrendered to that which is morally and ethically right for all mankind. Peace can only rule the day when the greater cause is not how well a certain group does, but how well everyone does. Peace cannot be something that we force on people, but I promise you, peace is a force that can change this entire world. Peace happens because of the love we have, first for our God, and the love we have for the people that God made. Peace cannot be voted upon. You can't legislate love. You can't legislate peace. Peace has to come from on the inside of ourselves. And so I say to you, first and foremost, peace is an alternative to disagreement. That when we really operate on the principles of peace, we discover that there is an alternative to disagreement. Because peace within makes it possible for us to understand each other. And peace within makes it possible for us to listen to each other. That when we really have internal and personal peace, it makes it possible for us to respect each other. Peace makes it possible to understand our differences. Peace makes it possible to work through our differences. Peace makes it possible to respect each other even when we disagree with each other. Peace makes it possible for us to bring more light to a conversation than heat. One of our greatest problems is that oftentimes in the midst of controversy, we bring more heat to the situation than we do light. But when we operate in a spirit of peace, we operate with intentional efforts to bring enlightenment to situation. Peace is a path to real reconciliation. And when we allow real reconciliation to take place, it bridges the gap that keeps us at distance. One of the greatest challenges in all of our lives is to keep the path from being cluttered by our own prejudices, cluttered by the past of our own pain. One of our greatest barriers to building bridge is that too often, too many of us refuse to let go of the past. I have to remind my own congregation that the past is not a hitching post, but the past is a guidepost by which we navigate our future, recognizing the pain of our past, but also celebrating the possibilities of our future. And one of the greatest challenges in all of our lives is to not to allow the path of peace to be cluttered with our own prejudices, cluttered with our own journey, cluttered by the things we see and the things we have experienced that keeps us from being connected to each other. It's difficult to find the spirit of reconciliation. We are not willing to take the threads of our lives and find those patches and those pieces that we can make a beautiful quilt out of. One of the things I love about our quilting ministry on Friday, it's amazing to me. These women come from different places. They're not all my parishioners. They all have different opinions. As a matter of fact, sometimes I walk by the room and I stand outside and I say to myself, I don't know how they get along together. Because they all disagree. But I didn't notice that they found something in common that makes that room peaceably. They found ways to bring patches of garments, and each one bring their own little patch of a garment, and they use thread, of course, and they sew those patches together, and at the end of the journey they brought different patches, but they make one beautiful quilt. Peace has that capacity for us to come together with our differences and use the threads of our faith and the threads of our humanity, and somehow or another, we have the possibility and the potential of making a beautiful quilt together. But peace is the real path of reconciliation. And peace is always an alternative to disagreement. But peace never will happen if we don't talk to each other. You see, peace makes communication possible. Peace helps us to move beyond our division. Peace will not happen if we continue to feed into those things that keep us separated. I'm amazed. Sometimes I'm not only amazed, I get angry. I get amazed and angry that we have mastered the air. We have conquered the sea. We have annihilated distance. And we have prolonged life. But we're not wise enough to live on this earth without hate, without war, and without violence. How can we be in a country who can master the air, conquer the sea, annihilate distance, prolong life, and yet, as bright as we are, we still haven't figured out, as a nation, as a people, how to authentically live without hate, without violence, without prejudice, without finding faults and condemnation. I would say to you that it's all because those of us who say we have the peace of God oftentimes keep the peace to ourselves. I could not help, because it happens in my own congregation, that as we were sharing the peace, and we all said, peace be with you, and also with you. And we do it on Sunday morning, and I'm one of those pastors who say to them, it's amazing to me that some of you just share the peace with the people you know. Some of you just share the peace with the people you're familiar with. God calls us to share that peace everyone that we come in contact with. God calls us to share that peace with the stranger, with a face we don't know, with a face who's different. They need to know that we have that peace. So what really matters is, what really matters for all of us, is how do we get to that place where we are smooth on the inside? How do we get to that definition that that little boy said, that peace is when we are smooth on the inside? We get there when we learn to practice what we believe. What this world really needs to see is how people of faith can actually practice what we say we believe. But it's difficult to practice what you say you believe if you don't really possess it within yourself. Peace must be practice. And peace must be the path to communication. And communication is the path to relationship. And relationship is the path to unity. But all of that takes place when we allow the peace we have in us to live in us. Peace must be demonstrated not just between the walls of our sanctuary, but peace must be demonstrated downtown, uptown, crosstown, wherever we are. I have a little saying in our congregation about evangelism, that if we would witness as we go, we would never have to go witnessing. That if people actually knew who we were, who we say we are, wherever we go, people will know that we are peaceably people. I'm reminded of this wonderful little story about the Christian faith, that there was a woman who was driving a car and a person cut in front of them. And when the person cut in front of them, this person driving the car started honking her horn, rolled down her window, said a few choice words to her. Not, God bless you. And this person also waved at her, not using all of her fingers. And this person just acted very erratic. And all of a sudden, the same person ended up being pulled over by a policeman. Policeman turned the light on and pulled him over. And the policeman got out and said, get out the car. And the lady said, I didn't do anything. You must have the wrong person. And the policeman said, no, I got the right person. You see, on the back of her car was, I go to church. I love Jesus. And there were all kind of scriptures all around the car. And the policeman said, given the way you're behaving, I just knew that you had stolen this car. I think we have to make sure that we actually practice who we say we are. Cannot send the wrong message uptown, crosstown, to Lansing, to DC, regardless of who we are. Because peace is bigger than ourselves. Your task, and my task, and the church task is how do we actually live out this peace? How do we actually demonstrate this peace? How do we actually show the world that we do have the peace of Jesus Christ? There was a little boy who got into an argument with some boys twice his size. And then the boys twice his size thought that this little boy was crazy because, number one, he picked an argument with boys who were twice his size. And then this little boy had the mitigating gall to pick an argument with boys twice his size and then drew a line in the sand and dared these boys who were bigger than him to step across that line. And when he drew that line in the sand and said, "I dare you to step across that line," those big boys looked and laughed at him and just stepped right across that line. And that little boy looked up at them and says, "Now, you are on my side." I think that what we ought to do in the body of Christ is to draw the line. And when we draw the line, we need to dare people to step across that line. Because I tell you, peace is bigger than gender issues. Peace is bigger than theological issues. Peace is bigger than being a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian. Peace is bigger than being a Presbyterian or a Baptist. Peace is about being who we are on the inside. And what we have to do is draw the line and say to those who may not have the peace that we say we have, "Let me share real peace with you. Let me show you how to love people who are indifferent. Let me show you how to demonstrate to others who may have a different opinion, how to be respectful, how to embrace people who may be struggling, how to encourage people who may need a hand up." I say to you, as I say to my own congregation, if it's at all possible, let the peace of God that live in you, let it live in someone else. And remember, this whole idea of peace, it depends on you and I. And all the people said, amen.